Good morning. We started the service in prayer. We talked about prayer and praying for the Muslim world during the season of Ramadan. We mentioned prayer and talk about a 30-day prayer vigil, essentially. And that drives the evil one nuts. And inevitably, something comes up, you know, that has to try to distract us and dissuade us. Because that's what happens when we pray, right? Something always seems to come up and want to distract us from the real work that God calls us to. And that is to be continuing to pour ourselves into others through prayer and making ourselves dependent on Him. So it's no surprise, it should be no surprise, that the thing that the evil one challenges first in our lives usually is our time in the Word and time in prayer. And he will challenge us as a people as we continue to fix our eyes on making ourselves dependent upon Him and drawing ourselves ever closer to Him. He always tries to get in the way, but He does not get the last word. He does not get the last word. Well, I've shared with you folks before that I don't have a lot of mechanical skills. I mean, I'm really pleased that I can put gas in my car all by myself. Reminds me of a comedian I heard years ago who said that his mechanical skills were so bad that he would pull up to the gas pump and pour gas all over the car and hope that it would suck in someplace. So I'm not quite that bad. And changing a light bulb for me is probably the extent of my home maintenance skills. Don't judge me. There are many of us out there. I don't know what line I was standing in when these gifts were given out, but I was obviously somewhere else. I think I was standing in the empathy line, or maybe for ice cream. And because of this deficit, I've always struggled with jealousy. No response. Wow. No, actually, I've always thought if a zombie apocalypse ever really happened, I'm not sure I'll make it. And I'm not sure anyone will have me on their team because I don't bring any useful skill to the table. Now my lack of building skills notwithstanding, it's been said, and it's been said by people who have really good building skills and are very mechanical, and I believe it's true, that you need to have a solid foundation if you're going to build a structure that's going to stand against the weather and the test of time. I've heard this all my life. And this is a truth that I suspect Jesus was playing on when he told the parable about the wise man who built his house upon the rock. It was the wise man who heard the words of Jesus and put them into practice. And it was the wise man who was able to stand steadfast in difficult days. So when the rain came down and the streams came up and the winds blew and beat against the house, it didn't fall because it had its foundation on the rock. Well, in a similar way, it seems that when Paul wrote the letter to the Ephesians, he was trying to set the hearts and minds of the faithful in Ephesus on Christ. He was trying to create a foundation, a foundation on which the lives of believers would be built. And that's why Paul's letters usually start with a couple of chapters on theology, kind of get them settled in who God is. And then later in his letters, he tends to talk about more pragmatic things. He tends to talk about how to live your life in accordance with these truths about who God is. Because with the foundation set, they'd be motivated to draw upon these truths and fashion their lives in accordance with all they heard. And as a church, they'd be unified with a common purpose. Together, they would be part of God's mission of reconciling the world to Himself. And if and when the rains came down and the floods came up, they faced the troubling times, they would be able to stay steadfast in faith. They'd be able to live lives worthy of the calling they received, regardless of what came against them. So in the first two verses of the book, the letter to the Ephesians, after Paul declared his apostolic authority, that is, after he reminded the faithful that he had been called by Jesus and he spoke for God, and after pronouncing God's grace and peace upon them, Paul starts laying out the foundation of God's blessing. He starts laying this out so that the Ephesians would have a way and Christians would have a way of building their lives on what is solid and truthful. And in these first six verses that are absolutely packed with theologic wonders, I want to focus just on three truths this morning. Just three truths that I believe should cause us to praise God. And when taken together, they're part of that foundation that makes up our transformed lives. So if you have your Bibles, I'd have you open up to Ephesians chapter 1, verses 3 through 6. And we'll take a moment to read those together. And then I'd love to be able to pray and ask God's blessing to rest upon us, and that His Spirit would be present in this time to lead us. So this is the Word of God. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. For He chose us in Him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in His sight. In love He predestined us for adoption to sonship through Jesus Christ, in accordance with His pleasure and will, to the praise of His glorious grace, which He has freely given us in the one He loves. Hey, let's pray together, shall we? Father God, we give You praise and adoration for all that You are. We thank You, Father, that You have seen fit by grace to provide us Your Son, Jesus. We thank You that You have given us, through faith in Christ, the power of the Holy Spirit to reside within us. And we ask now that that very same Spirit would be present now in this moment, would lead us and direct us. And Father, we pray that we would be people that are more than just studiers of the Word, people who learn the Word, but we pray that we would become people transformed by the Word, renewed by the Word, encouraged by the Word, people who live the Word out in our lives. And so we entrust ourselves to You in this time, and we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So Paul says in verse 3, why don't we highlight verse 3 if we could? Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. And here I think we see the first truth that should cause us to praise God. You see, here we see that our God is a giving God. Now, we're told in James chapter 1 that He is the giver of every good gift, every perfect gift. And the scripture is exceedingly clear that mankind as a whole is, and mankind as we're left on our own, and if we're left to our own efforts, we could never, never make ourselves right with God. And we could never know the joys and the blessings of God in our lives. It could never happen. And if God hadn't reached to us, if God was not a giving God, we would never have known Him. We know of Him because He made Himself known. We recognize our need because He made that need known. And our need is met because God made known His provision to us in Jesus to meet that need. From beginning to end, it has been about God giving to us. And if God hadn't made known to us His blessing, and blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ, we'd be without hope. And we'd be without His blessings. And because God is the gift giver, we can be assured that the blessings He gives us are not cheap trinkets. They're not secondhand provisions. God's blessings aren't like those knockoff watches, you know, those Gucci watches you can buy on the streets of New York City. No, God's blessings to us are of infinite value because they are a reflection of the character of God. The blessings of God bear His stamp. The blessings of God bear His stamp of love and grace and kindness and perfection. And so we have a reason. We have a reason to sing His praises to God because He is a glorious gift giver. His blessings aren't something that we have to sort of wring out of Him. It brings God glory to pour Himself into us so that we might know with an ever greater assurance the riches of His grace and His mercy and His love. Think on that a moment. When you came to Christ, it was as a result of something that God had done that God made himself known that you could know the wonders of Christ, know the wonders of his salvation. You have received this great gift from the great gift giver, and it is of infinite and precious value. Now, the second truth that should cause us to praise God is this. Not only is God a giving God, the one who gives us infinitely precious blessings that we could never attain on our own, but he is also a generous God. God is a generous God. And notice that the scripture says this. Let's highlight this. You're way ahead of me. Thank you. Go up one. There. Excellent. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. That means that when you came to faith in Jesus, God gave you every spiritual blessing that was possible and necessary for you to carry out God's calling to you to go and make disciples and to live in accordance with his will. Now, I've seen this truth played out occasionally in little kids. They have no real-world experience. They're without the erudition of great scholars or theologians. And yet, armed only with their faith in Jesus, I've seen little kids participate in God's redemptive purpose by sharing their faith with friends and seeing their friend drawn to Jesus in their willingness to share. And I've witnessed folks who the world would look down upon, that the world would think was ill-equipped and ill-prepared to help others. And I've seen them lovingly provide for the needs of others and share the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ. And you think, how can that be? How can they effectively share the love of Jesus? They're all enabled to do this. We're all enabled to do this because of faith in Jesus. A faith through which God has lavished upon us the spiritual blessings in Jesus. And when you were called by God and you put your faith in Jesus, the fullness of the blessings of God were given to you. Think on that a moment. The blessings of God, the fullness of the blessings of God reside within you. And you, upon your confession of faith, you were supernaturally enabled by the power of the indwelling Holy Spirit to participate in God's redemptive purposes and in his mission. Or as the Apostle Peter says in 2 Peter 1:3, his divine power has given us everything we need for life and godliness through our knowledge of him who calls us by his own glory and goodness. Now, this doesn't mean that there's no value in seeking further education or gaining more practical skills. It's always a good thing to continue to refine the talents and the gifts that Jesus has given to us. We should seek to develop ourselves so that we can be more effective for the kingdom of God. But we should never assume that our lack of training or our lack of education somehow precludes us from doing what God has called us to do. Our lack of education or our lack of a certain particular skill set doesn't limit us from participating fully in his mission to seek and save the lost. You see, through faith in Jesus, we've received every spiritual blessing in the heavenly realm. So Jesus, your faith in Jesus becomes our sufficiency. He is who you need to be what you're called to be. Jesus is the fullness of God's blessing to us. And that's probably why Paul was struggling. When Paul was struggling, the Lord said to him, "My grace is sufficient for you, Paul." His grace was sufficient for Paul because God's grace, as it's demonstrated and fulfilled in Jesus, had provided Paul with everything, every spiritual blessing he needed to make his way through the challenges that he faced. And because of that, Paul didn't need to have the challenge taken away. He could continue on, and he could endure. So the next time you think you're too young, or you're too old, or you're too this, or you're too that, to be on God's mission, I would have us take a moment and remember that you have received every spiritual blessing in Christ Jesus. It's through Jesus that you have what God needs you to have to be part of his mission. So we have a reason to sing his praises. We have a reason to sing praises to God because he is not only a giving God, but he is a generous God. A God who has poured out every spiritual blessing to us through faith in Jesus. And I think we forget that sometimes. I think we spend too much time thinking about what we don't have, what we feel are our deficits, what we believe are our deficits, when instead we should be reminded again and again and again that as faithful people in Christ, as people who have confessed faith in Jesus, we have been given every spiritual blessing in the heavenly realms through Christ Jesus. Don't call little what God has lavished upon. Don't besmirch yourselves. The third truth that should cause us to praise God is this. The blessings of God in Christ are secure. Now the word says this. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. For he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. In love, he predestined us for adoption to sonship through Jesus Christ in accordance with his pleasure and will. So the blessings that we have in Christ are secure because God chose us. God chose us in Christ. He chose us to be set apart as holy and blameless. It was God's choice to provide Jesus for us. We didn't earn the blessings that God bestows upon us in Christ. And because they are not based on the finite and they are based on the infinite, they are secure in this matter. The blessings that he poured into our lives are in no way, shape, or form the result of anything we could have ever do or attained, and therefore they are not dependent upon us. They are dependent on one who is infinite, everlasting. It's just like when he chose Israel to be his people, and he said he would be their God. He didn't choose them because they were special. He didn't choose them because they earned it. He didn't choose them because they were the biggest nation or the strongest nation. He chose them because it was his pleasure to choose them. And being chosen by God is not just a reference to your standing with God. It's not just about the relationship you have. It's also about an ethic. You see, because he chose us to be holy and blameless. Just like the priests and the items in the temple that were declared holy and consecrated and set apart for worship. When we were chosen by God, we were set apart for him. We were set apart to worship him by a matter of his decision, his choice. And through faith in Christ, because we are called blameless, through faith in Christ, God no longer sees us for our sins. He no longer sees us for our stains and guilts and blemishes. Perhaps that's why Paul could say in Romans chapter 8 that now there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Now through faith in Christ, God receives us as perfectly suited to be presented to him as a living sacrifice. We're able to offer our lives to God as an act of worship. And just as he chose us at the beginning of time to be holy and blameless, he also predestined us for adoption. God predetermined at the very beginning of time that we would be received by faith in Christ into God's family. We aren't simply allowed to hang out with the family. We're not just added to the team roster. It's not like we're some sort of mascots that he puts up with. No, we're received into God's family, and through faith in Christ, we are declared his sons and daughters. As God's adopted children, the Bible says we have full rights to receive his inheritance. And as adopted children in the household of God, we have become beneficiaries to inheritance that will never perish and spoil or fade. It's kept in heaven for us. So the next time you're at the end of your rope and you're thinking, man, I've gone and done it again. I bet God's done with me. And you picture God sitting up on high, all sarcastic and rude. Remember this, that God is the gift giver. God is a generous God, and God has secured those blessings that he's given to you. He doesn't look upon you as stained. He looks upon you as holy. He looks upon you as blameless. He looks upon you as his beloved and precious child. And I believe that gives us a reason to rejoice and praise his name. And if God is who the Bible declares him to be, and if we receive him as who he declares himself to be, then I would ask, is there any more secure place than to be found in Christ? Is there any more secure place to be found in Christ, through whom God chose us to be holy and blameless and who predestined us to be his adopted children? Can you think of any place more secure than to be in Christ? If God is who he says he is. But we don't live like we're secure. We live like we have to constantly earn his favor. But he's the gift giver. And he's given us lavishly. And he has secured the gift. So we are free people. We are free people. Able to walk in the light of that freedom. And freed up to worship him. And Paul tells the Ephesians that all of these blessings were given to the praise of his glorious grace, which he has freely given us in the one he loves. All of the blessings that God has poured out into those who have placed their faith in Jesus, all of those blessings are given to us that we might return them back to him in blessings and praise and worship. Dear ones, what better way to offer him praise than to purpose ourselves to build our lives upon the foundation of who God is? My transformed life, our transformed lives, begin and end with Jesus. And as we ground ourselves upon the truths that God is a giving God, and God is a generous God, and God has secured his blessings for me in Christ forever, then we don't need to bemoan what we think we don't have. We need to remind ourselves again and again that in Christ we have been given every spiritual blessing. And then we'll sing his praises, and in worship and in dependence upon Jesus, we'll live transformed lives, lives worthy of the calling we've received. Let's pray. Father God, I thank you for your word, and I pray, Father, that your word will go forth. I pray that it'll do what you have already determined it will do. I pray, Father God, that your name will be uplifted and praised, and you will be glorified in all things. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.